say thank you to those who came and celebrated our interns with us at the pancake breakfast. We've had the privilege of having 5 interns here this summer, and one of which was in junior high was Rachel, who has been an advisor all summer, and she's not here this morning, but I really appreciate how she's invested the summer and how that's going to play out this year. But I would love for the interns to stand up and for us to give them a round of applause. Thank you so much. Awesome. Yeah, Brad and Morgan are helping with children's downstairs, but Brad leaves for school today, so I encourage you to say thank you, hug them, share fun stories with them, but just appreciate how God has really used them this summer. So I am humbled to be here before you speaking the truth of God's love and wisdom. Let's just say I'm grateful to have the topic hashtag friends instead of the lofty challenge of hashtag, hashtag pride or hashtag wealth or hashtag folly. And knowing full well that often the things we teach about become magnified in our own lives. And I feel as though I dodged a bullet when Jeremy is leading us on the topic of hashtag sex here in a couple weeks. So thank you for that. Thank you for giving me the topic of friendship, which means that I was able to really process and reflect on my own friendships. I had the opportunity this summer to do quite a bit of traveling for vacation with friends, and so, which was very sweet times. And one of those was road tripping across the U.S., with one of my best friends, Rachel, to move her to Virginia, and so, which was a good start. I mean, hashtag bucket list, a hashtag life goals, hashtag calories don't count in the car, right? I had the privilege of going to a wedding of a college friend in Indiana this summer, and the wedding served as a reunion for a lot of us who lived together for 4 years while I was at Taylor University, and these women have seen me at my most raw points, and they have shown me great love and compassion. And I was inspired this summer by their care and prayers as we reconnected several years after graduation. And what was, to me, the most encouraging part of that time with friends was that we were able to pick up like we were together yesterday, even though we hadn't been together for 4 years. And so these women have shown me what it means to live boldly my life in Jesus Christ and often push me into new areas of trusting God. And these types of friendships, they're rare. And I'm grateful for God's provision. And even now as I live in Fresno, and as Jeremy was saying that you guys are for me, I really do, really am grateful for how he's continued to provide community through you here in Fresno. So let's open up to Proverbs 13:20, please. And if you don't have a Bible with you, there's a pew Bible. And I think Proverbs 13:20. Way to go, junior hires. I am so proud of you right now. Okay, so it says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. This morning, we will explore why the topic of friendship matters and how those relationships help us either become wise or foolish. Who we surround ourselves will often define what we value. And as we go through life circumstances, true friends will see us through those times of abundance or those times of mess. We should seek to walk with people who draw us towards God and towards wisdom in Christ rather than the folly of the world. As we unpack friendship today, I hope you will notice the diversity and the types of relationships represented throughout the Bible. We will see there are family ties, there are peer friendships, there are people that are friends beyond their ages and stages of life. And of course, we see co-workers together, and we also see discipleship-oriented friendship. And maybe, if you're like me, you've heard this saying growing up, tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are. So when we're discussing the wisdom of our own friendships, we're actually being asked to look at ourselves. Am I a wise friend? And what are the characteristics of a wise friend? I have a list of 5 different friendship characteristics. There's probably plenty more out there about what a wise friend is. But today we're going to talk about a wise friend walking towards God. Second, that they demonstrate loyalty. Third, that they make room for intimacy. Fourth, that they sharpen others. And finally, that they live sacrificial love. So first, how does a wise friend walk towards God? We can see this illustrated in the relationship between Ruth and Naomi in the book of Ruth. After Naomi lost her husband and 2 sons, she was faced with the grief of being a widow. She had given her daughters-in-laws the freedom to go back to their people and to find new husbands. Although Ruth responds a little differently than what you probably expected, she says to Naomi, "Do not urge me to leave you or return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." Ruth chooses to follow Naomi to Judah and leave her people, the Moabites, because she desired to walk after God. What an incredible moment of commitment. I love this friendship because it shows the significance of relationship with people beyond your age and stage. It also shows family and that type of relationship. Not all friendships should necessarily be with the people a few years ahead or below you, or those who are in the same stage of life. It brings fresh perspective, and Ruth was reminding Naomi to whom they belonged by having a relationship that was diverse in age and stage. They were children of God, and if Naomi was going to walk towards God to Judah, then so was Ruth. I've experienced these types of friendships. Women I connect with here that I often joke about them being the same age as my mom. I'm grateful that these intergenerational friendships, especially being so far away from my own family, they often are the greatest encouragers, especially seeing the wisdom I need in order to walk towards God. Those friends who are walking after God pray with and for me. They remind me often that we belong to God. Secondly, a wise friend demonstrates loyalty. Loyalty is something we are asked to give every day. Whether you support the Giants or the Dodgers, Apple or Microsoft, or perhaps the 49ers or the Seahawks, our loyalty can bring great passion from within us, as we've heard. Loyalty requires commitment to a cause. But what about loyalty to our friends? Or how about loyalty to our Creator? There is someone who is far more significant in which we should show our loyalty. The Almighty Creator God wants our loyalty. And to demonstrate loyalty to God means we show Him our devotion by serving Him above all else. A loyal friend looks out for the needs of others and is there to help in desperate times. Whereas a disloyal friend will use your weaknesses to feel more powerful, and often in times of desperation is nowhere to be found. In the Bible, we see great loyalty demonstrated through Jonathan's relationship with David. Here we witness deep peer relationship. Jonathan is willing to stick with David in the good and the bad. And Jonathan made a pact with David that went against his own father. He saw God's blessing on David's leadership and respected his integrity. And David had so much love for his friend that even he demonstrated loyalty for the care of Jonathan's descendants many years later. A friend reminded me of the loyalty shown throughout the Lord of the Rings series. Frodo, the main character, had an extremely hard task to destroy the ring that would cause destruction for the world. And Frodo wasn't alone in this journey. His friend Sam had made a promise to Gandalf that he would protect Frodo. And Sam stayed along Frodo even in times of great desperation and even disagreement. Sam was a person of integrity. He showed loyalty and a servant's heart, and he was willing to do what it took to see that the job was finished and that Middle Earth was saved, which we're all grateful for, right? And so there are several examples where disloyalty leads to ruin. I think of the ways that Israelites turned from their relationship with God. They turned their back on his truth and were no longer devoted to serving him above all else. These choices led to exile from God and much brokenness in the lives of Israelites for years. So a wise friend demonstrates loyalty through devotion and service. There's trust and confidence in a friend who desires the best for you and for others. One practical way we can work on loyalty is to protect our friends in times when they are not present to defend themselves. Close friends know the weaknesses of each other, and in an act of great disloyalty when confidence is broken. So in conversations, when someone has an issue with your friend, even if you agree with that person's grievance, it would be wise to steer the person to seek out your friend to bring about resolution. Demonstrating this type of loyalty and care for your friends is a catalyst for trust. Thirdly, a wise friend makes room for intimacy. This is probably the most sensitive and complex of the characteristics of a wise friend. And if I'm to be honest, as a single young woman, there are times where I felt very little value in the church community because I'm not married. Our church culture often idolizes marriage, and therefore those of you who are of marital age may find it difficult to find your place in this church body. The issue of feeling marginalized supersedes even marriage. For those people out there who feel alone or on the outside, I want you to know the truth that you have value in our community and our friendships. A wise friend knows themselves well enough they are able to make room for intimacy with others. Intimacy is twofold, the physical and the emotional. Here I am talking about the emotional intimacy. Emotional intimacy comes from when we allow others to see our soul and love the person that God created in us. Emotional intimacy is meant for more than just marriage. And although marriage is a beautiful, God-ordained covenant, it should not define a person's value. And if you are in a marriage and sense deep loneliness, you may have bought into the lie that your spouse would fulfill all your emotional needs. And that is too much responsibility for one person, especially broken people like us. Though there is hope and healing in the area of relational intimacy through Jesus, wherever you find yourself, on the spectrum of single or married, the same is true. God is the only one who can deeply satisfy the emptiness we feel. Our value is not in our capability to build a family, but instead in the love of Jesus Christ. A good friend knows the importance of loving the soul of a person and allowing space for intimacy and deep friendship. A place in relationship without condemnation, but instead filled with God's truth, compassion, acceptance, and love. And in 1 John 4:19, it says, many of you have heard this, "We love because he first loved us." The Almighty God of the universe, who created all things and who made humankind in his image and loves us and made us for relationship with him, he desires that relationship and where we can hear his voice and seek after his wisdom. So sit with that truth for a moment. What does this mean for our friendships here on earth? A good friend seeks to know the depth of a person and learns to love the way God has shown love to them. They have deep relationship with Jesus and come to others with a sense of confidence in their identity. They share their hope in Jesus and with others to help them find their identity as image bearers. A wise friend makes room for emotional intimacy that leads to healing in relationships. Sometimes it takes confirmation from a friend who knows you well to help you receive healing from God. Number four, a good friend sharpens others. And right now I'm going to invite up some junior high students to help me with an illustration. Awesome. So So we're going to talk about the power of influence. So, yep, Abby, step up there. All right. So say you're going in and you want to teach people about Christ, but it's just you. And you're kind of coming into this environment where there's not much else around you. Go for it. It's pretty easy for them to pull Abby off the chair, right? But say, no, you guys get up there on the chairs. Yep. Yep. Kate's in the middle. Yep. You got this. Awesome. All right. Now say there's three of them, though, who really have this foundation of Christ and who they are and their identity. There's a little bit of a difference that happens. Okay, hold on. Get back down. Let them actually pull you, okay? We got this. All right, awesome. Good job. All right, you guys can get done. Awesome. Thank you, guys. Awesome. So what we can see from that illustration is there is power influence, power of influence. And so growing up, I really disliked with great passion the phrase guilty by association. Ugh, it would make my skin crawl. I always saw myself as strong and independent and that I would make my own choices no matter who was around me. I've gained a tiny bit of wisdom since then. And in this illustration, we see how easy it is for three people to pull down that one person. And yet, when there's three people pulling up, there was a very different outcome. In this case, Abby really wanted to be with her friend, so she just jumped up there, which is awesome. I see this in the way that Jesus sent out his disciples in pairs. In Mark 6:7, he sent them out two by two with authority. Jesus knew the significance of influence and how we are better able to follow him when others are seeking his will alongside us. God is not calling us to minister out of loneliness, but out of deep relationship with him and with others. A friend who seeks to sharpen you knows you, loves you, but wants more for you. They tell you the truth you need to hear, even if it's hard to say. When we allow the light of God's truth to illuminate darkness, there is victory. In Proverbs 27:17, it says, "Iron sharpens iron, as one man sharpens another." Sharpening each other requires prayer and accountability to stay tuned to God's truth. We need friends who are willing to partner with us living out the gospel. A good friend knows when to speak up and also how to receive feedback. Sharpening each other requires giving and receiving. Those who we surround ourselves with will either allow us to walk right into a dark pit or pull out the flashlight and heed warning. A good friend seeks your best and is willing to do the hard work of sharpening you. Finally, a good friend lives sacrificial love. I love that Joe White shared earlier this summer about Christ changing the course of our life. We should not attempt to drag Jesus along our path, but instead turn and go towards the course that he is leading. We should not attempt to think that we know what's best for our lives, but really surrender to God's will in our lives. God promises us abundant life anyways. Why would we ever want to seek anything different? Although walking in the way of Jesus is not an easy task, when I read John 10:14-15, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life, or I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own knows me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I'm taken aback by how Jesus sacrificed his life for all that they can know and love him, and also that he can know and love them completely. Knowing Jesus and walking with him will bring wisdom. But I do not see the journey being one of comfort. Jesus is willing to lay it all out there in order to bring us into relationship with him. At the Global Leadership Conference last week, Pastor Craig Groeschel, I think is how you say his name, said, "One relationship can change the course of your life." He challenged us to make connections with others in order to draw us closer to Christ. But first, we must have an intimate relationship with Jesus, who can change the course of our life. Jesus' life, death and resurrection has brought reconciliation. We need to fully experience relationship with God. Christ has given us the transformational love we need in order to live in shalom, whole relationship with others. Life-changing friendships in my own walk have been people of various ages and backgrounds. They are those friends who speak truth and help inspire me to live into God's promise. Their love for me has demonstrated Jesus' love to me in very tangible ways. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." To walk after the wise means to lay down our lives, surrendering our own selfish desires for the sake of Jesus Christ. It means loving people who are different from ourselves and seeking to live in the way of Jesus. Through the transformative power of God's love, we can join with Him in laying down our lives as a sacrifice of love. But what does it look like to lay down our lives? In the Name of Jesus by Nouwen, hopefully, it says, "Laying down your life for others means making your own faith and doubt, hope and despair, joy and sadness, courage and fear available for others as ways of getting in touch with the Lord of life." Living sacrificially means that we have to allow for vulnerability to take place, where therefore others can experience the deep love that God has for them. We are beautifully broken and fully restored in Jesus. Craig, Margie, and I have been reading this book, In the Name of Jesus, with the interns this summer. And one profound revelation from our reflections was how the act of sharing our faith, our doubts, our hope, our despair, our joy, our sadness, our courage and fear, and the presence of other believers became a catalyst for healing. Praying openly for one another about the gritty parts of life allowed for God to show His love to our brothers and sisters, to show His grace and His compassion. The key in laying down your life is setting aside the fear of inadequacy, the fear of losing the perfect image, the fear of being known and rejected. Instead, we should seek to trust the Spirit to guide and protect us and the risk of vulnerability that leads to deeper faith and deeper friendship. The act of vulnerability connects all of these characteristics of a good friend. It takes being vulnerable to allow others to see your walk with the Lord, to be loyal, or to experience relational intimacy. Building trust in these areas then leads to friendships that can withstand and transform through sharpening one another and sacrificially loving one another. I mean, if you can love me when I first wake up, well, let's face it, most of us are at our most vulnerable. Probably my hair is everywhere, and I have my sleepy voice, groggy voice, bad breath, no makeup, and if you lived with me in college, you would get to experience the stumbling zombie down the hallway as I make my way to the shower. If you can love me then, I know that you are trustworthy, and I can look, and that you look for the good in me, because you've seen me at my worst. Knowing you understand and accept me demonstrates loyalty. I can trust that you will be there when life gets tough, because you tell me the truth in love. At my worst, you are at your best. This is exactly how Christ showed His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. So in conclusion, we all have room to grow, and by the grace of God, we'll continue to learn all the days of our lives. Pray for God to reveal to you which one of these characteristics He wants to stretch you in. Walking towards God, demonstrating loyalty, making room for intimacy, sharpening others, or living sacrificial love. May we embrace the challenge of growing and learning how to be good friends. I pray you find deep friendship in Jesus that transforms the way you approach friendship with others. Walk with the wise so that you may become wise and lead others towards wisdom. Please pray with me. Father God, thank you so much for this community, for this congregation, for your word and how you speak to us today, Lord. And I pray that you can continue to strengthen our friendships with one another. Allow us to really dig deep into what it means to be a wise friend. I pray for those who feel like they don't really have wise friends around them, that you would provide, because even as we heard testimony earlier today, that you are the God, the provider of all things, Lord. Allow those relationships to intersect. And we pray that we can learn how best to live sacrificial love that draws people to you, that transforms our lives. And may we glorify you in all that we do and say. In your name we pray. Amen.
Calls us friend. He calls us friend. And because Jesus calls us friend, the Son of God, who always was and is and will forever be, the one who will reign forever and the one whom we will worship, since He calls us friend, we are empowered by Him and that identity to be the kind of friends to other people that helps them go toward the Lord and know Him. But to be that kind of friend that is loyal, that is open to intimacy, that is willing to do the hard things, that takes courage. So congregation, be courageous. Be courageous to be vulnerable, to be open, to move towards others so that they might also move towards the Lord. This week, find a way to be courageous in friendship in a way that would give glory to the Lord who has called you His friend. And as you do that, I invite you to receive this blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His perfect peace today and every day. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all of God's friends said,
Amen.
God bless you.